Is there a place where Jesus is not able to work? Are there circumstances that the Scriptures declare limit God or prohibit the Lord from working? Does the Word of God tell us of any situation in which the Lord is said to be limited or a body of people among whom He cannot work? But let me be more specific in this question. I am asking if there's any kind of situation in which Jesus cannot work for the good of the individual. Is there a condition in which the blessing of God simply cannot be realized? Is there some kind of circumstance that erects an impenetrable wall between men and God, or between individuals and the Lord Jesus Christ, one that effectively blocks any good coming to them from Jesus Christ? If such a condition exists, it's imperative that it be identified in order that it may be avoided at all cost. In a subject like this, philosophy, speculation, and human opinion are not only of no value, they must be zealously avoided. Men must not have input into this matter. It is simply too critical to allow for surmising, conjecture, and hypothecating. If there is an answer to the question I have placed before you, God must have spoken concerning it, or there is really no point to discussing the subject. If there is nothing in Scripture concerning these matters, they are to be discarded from our thinking and pondered no more. If there is a word from God on the matter, however, then there is an obligation placed upon men to know that word, and no person can afford to ignore the words of the living God or to live as though the Scriptures were not intended to be read, ingested, and understood. First, let it be clear that there is a level of divine working that can in no way be hindered by men. When it comes to what God has purposed, determined, or decreed, what other personalities think or do has no impact whatsoever on it. Men cannot stop, alter, hinder, or delay anything that God has purposed. In Genesis 6, 7, and 8, it is confirmed that if God determines to send a flood, no one can stop it or delay it for so much as one day. As Genesis 18 and 19 substantiate, if He determines to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain, there's not a man on earth or an angel in heaven that can stop it. In Exodus 7 through 12, we have demonstrated that if God determines to deliver Israel from Egypt, that determination cannot be altered in any way by any person. As Galatians 4:4 states, if God determines to send Jesus into the world at a certain point in time, personalities in heaven, earth, or hell cannot delay it or stop it from happening. If the Lord has set a time for the heavens and earth to pass away, as 2 Peter 3:7 declares, there's nothing that can stop or postpone that time from taking place. If Jesus said He was going to raise from the dead on the third day, it was not possible for the devil or any other personality to stop that from happening, or make it take place in the second day, or perhaps the tenth day. If Jesus says, as Matthew 5:5 affirms, that the meek shall inherit the earth, that is precisely what will happen. If the Lord says the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, as stated in 1 Corinthians 6:9, they will not inherit it, and nothing can be done to change that word or render it untrue. This, however, is not the level of divine working that I am addressing in this message. I am speaking of the enjoyment of divine blessing and the experience of divine benefit, or the Lord working for good in the lives of any individual or group of individuals. I'm going to affirm that there are some conditions that effectively stop the Lord from working for the good of the people. Unless that condition is altered, hell will be the destiny of those people, and the work of Jesus will be of no benefit to them. There are circumstances that cause people to become an abomination in God's eyes, causes Him to abhor them, and to declare in His wrath that they will not inherit the blessing that could have been theirs. But let me get straight to the matter of what God has said on this subject. First, let us consider Israel, a people created by God, raised up miraculously, and sustained under the most difficult circumstances. Let us ponder the nation that was miraculously delivered from Egypt by God, crossed the Red Sea as it was miraculously parted, to make way for them to pass through it on dry land. They witnessed the drowning of a host of enemies before their eyes, enemies who had determined to capture them and take them back to Egypt. Let us consider the people who were given rivers of water from a rock and given miraculous bread for a period of 40 years. Can these people get into a condition where they limit God, or where He's brought to abhor them or reject them or refuse to bring them into the land He promised them? Well, the Lord has spoken on this matter, so we do not need to speculate about it. Hear the inspired psalmist speak on this very subject. How oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Psalm 78:40 and 41. Yes, they limited God. That is, they grieved Him to the point where the fountain of blessing ceased to flow. They provoked Him and the spigot of favor was turned off. Here's another statement of the situation, again written by the sweet psalmist of Israel. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. Psalm 106, verse 40. Psalm 74:1 states that the anger of the Lord smoked against the sheep of his pasture. Before he died, Moses addressed the children of Israel concerning their wilderness wandering and the people who died there, well over half a million of them. Deuteronomy 32:18 and 19 reads, "Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a forward generation, people in whom is no faith." All of that is involved in Israel limiting the Holy One of Israel. But let us get to the matter of a people or place where Jesus cannot work mightily for good. Perhaps you are of the opinion that he can work anywhere, anytime, and among any people. If we're speaking of him executing his will, that's true. And what if his will is to judge the people, or curse the people, or reject the people? What about them? Will he bless the people who has provoked him to abhor them? But let us not speak of this subject as though the Bible was silent on it. It is not silent on it. During the ministry of Jesus, he once returned to his own country, his hometown of Nazareth, and the area around about it. When he taught in the synagogue there, the people could only think of him as that young man who was raised among them. Mark 6:3 says the people observed, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. Knowing what they had said, Jesus replied, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house." Mark 6:4. It is at this point that the Spirit moved the writer of Mark to make an editorial remark, an inspired editorial remark. It was an observation the Holy Spirit wanted men to know, and it reveals something about Jesus that cannot be ignored without disastrous results. Here is what he said, "And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them." Mark 6:5. Other versions read, "He could not do a miracle there. He could do no deed of power there." Confirming there were only a few exceptions in which he healed a few that were sick, probably in some remote part of the region. This is also one of two places where Jesus, the all-knowing one, is said to have marveled. Verse 6 says, "And he marveled because of their unbelief." Matthew says of this occasion, "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Matthew 13:58. It was their unbelief that stopped the power from benefiting them. It was their unbelief that caused him to not be able to do a mighty work there. It was their unbelief that limited Jesus as Israel's unbelief limited God. Even though he had delivering power, he could not exert it in any significant measure in his own hometown. And it was because of their unbelief. They did not believe he was anything other than a hometown boy or a teacher at the best. They would not entrust themselves to him, depend upon him, or believe on him as the one who had been sent from God to save them from their sins. When referring to an entire generation of Israel not being able to enter the Promised Land, the Spirit attributes it to unbelief, just as the Mark text does concerning those in Jesus' hometown. Here is what Hebrews 3:19 says, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Elaborating further on the matter, the Spirit tells those in Christ Jesus to take due heed to Israel's experience. Hebrews 4:1-2 states, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." These people came up to the very border of the Promised Land. They could see it, and they even saw fruit from the land. However, they were more impressed by the giant occupants of the land than the abundant and superior fruit that was in it. They could not believe that God would make them equal to the challenge, and therefore they are said to have limited the Holy One of Israel. Why is it that such a circumstance is credited to Israel? They limited the Holy One of Israel. Why is it said of Christ's home region, "He could do there no mighty work"? The philosopher may be confused by the situation. On the one hand, the Scriptures affirm that God is all-powerful, does whatever he pleases, and that no one can stay his hand or stop him from doing what he wants. On the other hand, it says that people limited him and that his all-powerful Son could not do a mighty work among a certain people. How can these representations be harmonized? Or is it even necessary to do so? Maybe this is just something we cannot understand, so we just believe it, then ignore it, and go on our way. Is that really an acceptable resolution? Indeed, it is not. For we are admonished to learn from these occasions so that they are not duplicated in us, lest there be in any of us an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And you may rest assured you cannot learn from something you do not understand. The answer is found in the consideration of God's nature, or His ways. God has a nature as well as power, and He cannot act in contradiction of it. Christ has a nature as well as all power, and He cannot contradict His own nature. Unlike men, God and Christ cannot speak or act in contradiction of who they really are. A holy God cannot in any way speak or act in an unholy manner. A Jesus who loves righteousness and hates iniquity, as declared in Hebrews 1:9, cannot work among a people who are living in iniquity as though this was not the case. The Savior who demands faith cannot ignore that requirement in His dealings with humanity. He cannot treat people who are wallowing in sin as though they were righteous people. Jesus said unbelief leads to sure damnation. He that believeth not shall be damned. His nature will not allow Him to confer the benefits that require faith upon those who do not possess it. It's really not that difficult to understand, is it? If He says, as stated in Matthew 25:26, that the unprofitable servant will be cast into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, who is the fool that expects Him to shower benefits on such a person, give them grace, and at last bring them to glory? What kind of mindset would lead any person to think like that? Who imagines that a person, any person, could live continually in a manner from which Jesus is said to deliver people, and yet expect Jesus to work for them, God to answer their prayers, and the Holy Spirit to empower them? If being a friend of the world makes one the enemy of God, as clearly stated in James 4:4, what would lead any person to imagine that God Almighty would ignore their conformity to the world, or that Jesus would faithfully intercede for them and bless them in spite of their worldliness? Who is it that invented theology that says once a person's accepted by God, there's no longer any condition that can limit God or cause Jesus to fail or work in their behalf? And should we find such an ignorant person, how would they explain their theology to Israel, who were chosen by God, accepted by God, and delivered by God, only to provoke God to anger, limit Him, and move Him to abhor them and refuse to let them into the land He had promised them? Just how would that theology be explained to those people who are a revealed contradiction of that whole way of thinking? Listener, every informed person knows that the average church has its share of unprofitable servants, people who are fundamentally unbelieving and are not living by faith or walking in the Spirit. Some congregations are filled with them. Should there not be faithful watchmen who sound the trumpet of warning before the great and notable day of the Lord? Is it possible that the absence of spiritual power in our time is owing to the fact that Jesus can really do no mighty work in this generation? Is such a condition possible? Is it remotely possible that some congregations, because of their spiritual disinterest and retardation, have actually provoked God to the point where He will not let them have a blessing? Do you suppose there are still places like Nazareth where Jesus can do no mighty work, or a people who limit the Holy One of Israel? Is it possible that a person like you or a person like me, can be in a situation where the wells of salvation are stopped and Jesus will not work? Let me assure you that these conditions can exist. We know this is true because God has revealed times when they were present. However, it is also true that if people are sensitive, such times do not need to continue. Now, when your heart is tender and you have even the faintest desire to be right in the sight of God, now is the time to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You may have been a professing Christian for years, but you certainly must not be a fruitless, slothful, and undependable one. If you want Jesus to work in your behalf in faith, turn your eyes toward heaven and do so now.